Hi, this is Favi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch, the podcast where we talk about important things like...
Just because you're 6'4 doesn't mean you're fierce. Hello, hello, hello. How's it going, Babelito?
Good. Aquí como San Francisco in nature. How are you?
Wow. How I was going to say biblical, but that was after the Bible.
That was definitely after the Bible.
I'm good. I'm recording today from my garage in East Las Vegas.
Fancy.
I know, very fancy. Just have a lot of shit surrounding me because once again, I'm reorganizing the garage so that it is a functional studio, little space for me. And you know that I'm at that point where you have to like take everything out to put everything back in.
Right.
So that, you know, rearranging so that everything goes in nicer.
Que desorden.
And I did it with the inside of my house last week. So this week it's been about the garage. And you know what? I've been finding a lot of stuff because I collect a lot of random stuff. But a lot of like Latinos Who Lunch archival memorabilia.
Oh, wow.
That I have multiple copies of. So if you are our Patreon patron, or if you're a madrina, comadre, or amiga, I think I'm going to start just like posting like, hey, whoever wants this, let me know. And I'll start mailing it to you guys because I don't need 5 copies of the same damn poster from the same damn school. But yeah, I've been giving a lot of stuff away and I've been really getting into mailing people postcards. So I'm, you know, just trying to live my best life, stay positive, getting ready for the election. How about you?
Hijo su madre, pues the same. I actually been, there's a lot of things going on, and I want to get into some of what happened to me last week, but it's going to be through a listener letter, so I'll get to that later. But nothing, man, just like I have writing deadlines, and that's all I've been doing. My family, my parents again came over. Ay, la Clemen, ya te la sabes, con sus clemenadas. She was, they came and they just came for a day. And we made them chilaquiles and, you know, she just liked them. That's all she had to say. But I made her coffee, but ella toma Nescafe, you know, she drinks that instant coffee. She's like, ay, tomo tanto Nescafe que tu café no me sabe a café. And bitch, you know how extra I am about my coffee. Like, I try to find the local roasters. I like buy the beans. I los muelo. I have a French. Like, it's like a whole fucking routine for me in the morning. Like,
I don't know this about you because when we were coffee friends, all you would drink was that burnt ass Starbucks coffee.
Yeah, well, this is the only coffee there is here in Yucca Valley, but I'm trying not to go, man, but the temptation is there. But in the morning, I have to do, either I can make my espressos or my French press, pero muelo los granos y todo el show, like... Like, I'm serious. Because if I have a bad cup of coffee, valió vergas, güey. Like, my day is fucking ruined. Anyway, so I am, like, trying to find the right mix of grains for my mom, not to make it too acidic, because I know she won't like it. And she takes the first sip, and she makes a face. She's like, ugh. She's like, tomo tanto Nescafé que esto ya no me sabe a café. Le digo, mom. Le digo, you comparing instant coffee, Nescafé, with this... It's like comparing, I don't know, like a burger from McDonald's and In-N-Out. I said, no, wait, I have a better analogy. It's like you comparing Tacos El Gordo with Taco Bell. And she's like, I have a better one. It's like comparing my tacos to your tacos.
Damn.
Right. I was like, you know that's going to go on the podcast. She's like, I don't care. So there you have it. I've been writing and, I mean, people come and visit, but it's just like a day and it actually gives us an excuse to rest. Pero, yeah. ¿Tú qué has comido? ¿Qué comiste hoy?
Well, I have been eating the same shit every day. You know, this is not getting any more interesting every episode. But so I do my, you know, overnight oats with fruit in them. Uh-huh. And I bought a bunch of plátanos a couple weeks ago, and they're finally the perfect. You know how some people eat plátano? I mean, plátanos are very diverse. Like, you can eat them green and treat them more like a potato. Or I like to just let them get, like, hella ripe, where they look like, you know, that material that the scientists made that's, like, dark matter that just, like, looks like it can fall in. Like, when it looks like that, then that's when I eat them.
So you're
like,
talking about plátanos or plantains? Plátanos, right?
I say plátanos because Mexicans call bananas plátanos. No, plátanos are plantains.
Oh, okay.
Not, what do you guys call them? I don't know. What do you call plátanos?
Ni sé la neta. I don't
wow,
even...
uncultured swine. So, anyway, so I like to steam them and eat them for breakfast, and they're super, super sweet when they're dark. So when they're like so ripe, and so that's what I ate today. I don't know. It's been a week of where like I'm just trying to eat quick and easy and the least amount of dishes. And that takes one dish, everything that I just mentioned. So that's what I've been eating. Wow. How about you?
I actually been eating really good breakfasts. We found a new YouTube channel that it's mm-hmm. like the opposite of the one that we were watching before from La Señora de San Diego. This one is from Austin, Texas. I thought she was in Mexico, but like then she started showing off how she was in the Austin Chronicle or something like that. Her name is Jauja Cocina. And you know what I've noticed? Because I...
How do you spell that?
J-A-U-J-A. Jauja. Mm-hmm. Her name is Janet. Y es una señora del DF. Pero I noticed that all the señoras all have their sazón, you know? Like, you know how you're like, oh, tu mamá mm-hmm. tiene un sazón en la fregada? Like, I figure, like, my mom uses a lot of cumin in her food. And then I remember when I spent the quarantine with Rosa and Felipe, Rosa doesn't really use a lot of cumin in her food. But then, like, this lady, Jauja, she uses a lot of oregano. And then other ladies on YouTube will use mejorana, for instance, and as the spices base for their food. And I'm more like an oregano queen. I'm still afraid of cumins, but this one uses a little bit of everything, and it's pretty good. And what's great about her channel is that it doesn't make you afraid of making salsas, because for years, like the idea of like buying dry chiles and then boiling them and then blending them and like strain them, like all of that seemed a lot of work. But after you do it once, after you do like a good pair of enchiladas or like chilaquiles, like it becomes so easy. So we've been doing a lot of chilaquiles, and we do like red sauce and green sauce, and then we cook it all together. There's some really good recipes. Shout out to Jauja Cocina on YouTube, because she's been around for 5 years. I had no idea. She has over 5 million followers, man. And is one of those ladies that it's pristine. Everything that she does is like so specific and detailed. And then the language that she uses. At first I was like, ay, que fresa. But no, I'm used to it and I love, love, love it. So I've been eating a lot of that. Today I had leftover chilaquiles and huevos con kielbasa. That was my breakfast. So it was like breakfast for champions, because I have a lot of shit to do today. So that was my meal.
Yum. Sounds good. All right. Well, we have a lot of listener letters to get to today. So I think we need to just jump right in because usually we get through one. I'm trying to get to like maybe three today. Let's make that our goal.
Wow. What a concept. Imagine.
I know. We just have such great listener letters. It gets the conversation going. So we're going to continue this after the break. Babalito, my gosh, you know, this quarantine, this pandemic, it is just, it's never ending. It feels like it's never going to end. But you know what keeps me company and what keeps my hopes up is all these new Latin X, Latin X, Latine, Latinao podcasts that are out now. And there's just so many good ones out there.
Yes, and I feel like the quality of the podcast is getting better and better, and our voices are better represented than I think ever before. And there's like a new one that it's absolutely amazing. It's called 70 Million.
Black Americans have borne the burden of criminal justice reform, but it is becoming increasingly clear that criminal justice reform is a Latinx issue as well. Because guess what, Mimi?
What?
Black Latinx people exist.
That's right. This is a podcast from the producers of Latina to Latina podcast. This, again, 70 Million, a podcast chronicling how communities are taking action and addressing criminal justice reform in their neighborhoods.
Tune in each week this fall for an in-depth look at how ICE detention not only mirrors the U.S. prison system, but in many places, ICE is now contracting for-profit private detention companies to hold refugees and people seeking asylum. This last episode that I listened to was about a Guatemalan family. Hashtag relatable content.
And this show gets right into the heart of the social upheaval we're experiencing and how communities all over the U.S. are taking action. Again, this is the type of content that we need. And more than ever, we have to pay attention to these voices out there.
Now, more than ever. In these unprecedented times. Together. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, listen now at 70millionpod.com or search for 70 million in your podcast app. Again, that's 70millionpod.com. And we're back. Okay, let's get into these listener letters.
Let's do it. You want me to start?
Yes, and as always, you can send your listener letters to asklwlpod@gmail.com. Feel free to call us, 512-333-0471, and leave a voicemail. We might play it on the show. Again, 512-333-0471.
000 hasta que se te caiga el pinche dedo.
Remember when those collect call commercials were really popular back in the day?
And 1-800-226-2727.
And then there was 1-800 a mi casa or a tu casa. Remember that one? That was like the sexy one. Like 1-800. All right, go ahead.
Okay, let's do it. This first one is from Amarelis. Title, Am I Doing Enough to Support Fellow POCs? Hello, hello. Love the podcast. You all make me cackle. Now onto my question. Right to the point. Okay. Recently, I received a message from one of my closest friends. We are very close and have been friends for almost 10 years. Her text was along the lines of, quote, I'm heard that you have not used your social media to support Black Lives Matters. Not calling out, just telling you my feelings, end of quote. My friend is a queer Black woman. I was really caught off guard by her message, and honestly, it upset me. I am a Latina woman who grew up in a predominantly white, wealthy suburbs, so I am no stranger to racism and grew up having major identity issues. It wasn't until I went to college that I felt that I could be myself and openly vocal about racism and systems of oppression. My parents were heavily involved in activism in the 80s for the rights movements of farm workers, teachers, and low-income people of color. My point is that I make an effort in my everyday life to combat racism and racist systems because it was the way I was raised. I was really offended that she judged my social media as not enough because I have posted about Black Lives Matter in addition to other angry tweets about racism in general. However, I don't post super frequently because I have better ways to use my time, like showing my anti-racist sentiments through my actions. Her comments about social media is absolutely not a reflection of me and where my heart is at. I protested, donated, and done service work during the past few months, but I purposely do not document it on social media because it really bothers me when people post about Black Lives Matter or other issues on social media but don't actually walk the walk in real life. I'm very upset that my close friend, who is also going to be my maid of honor, has judged me in this way out of the blue. It has me questioning whether or not I'm doing enough, even though I know in my heart that that's not true. I have taken this time during the past few months to reflect on myself and the ways I may be contributing to racism, racist systems. I admit I'm not perfect, but anyone who knows me knows I am very outspoken about these topics. I constantly feel, though, as though Latinos are not considered in talks about race because people only see racism affecting black people. I can't help but wonder if because I am a Latina, she thinks I don't understand or don't care, which is totally not true. What do you all think? Am I being selfish by being offended? Am I not doing enough? Or how do I handle this with my friend? Thank you so much, Amarelis. Woo!
Well, so much for the fun questions this week. well, okay. Judging by this email, you are a white Latina because you are very offended. I think I probably would too. So that's why I'm just projecting here. And I don't know. I see both sides of this. Honestly, I hope that you asked all these questions to your friend if you're that close, right? And she's your maid of honor. Maybe this is a good opportunity to speak on uncomfortable topics that maybe y'all have never had explicit conversations about it. Through this year, I have learned a lot. I realize myself as a light-skinned Latino that I have said a lot of stupid shit and thought a lot of dumb shit, and there's always room to grow. And it's just tough because social media is something that if you're on it and you don't say anything, you're criticized for it. If you have a platform, if you're a public figure. But some people just use social media to just put pictures of their baby or their dog or what they eat. Or yeah. I literally follow people that post like furniture. And so I'm not looking at them for like social justice posts because that's just not what they're about. But I don't know, when it's a cultural institution, you know, a nonprofit organization that you used to support, like stuff like that, I think is more important. But going back to your friend, I can relate in a sense because one of my best friends is a very white, cis, hetero man. And now that I've read a few books on you know, race and America, things that he says trigger me a lot of times. And I was that person that was like correcting them all the time or getting angry. But that's just going to hurt you. I think you need to use your energy in a better way. 'Cause right now, I think what you need to do is just listen. Like, your friend is upset because they don't think that you responded, you didn't respond adequately to the movement. Or maybe this may stem from something else in your friendship. Maybe one time or a couple times somebody said something to them and you didn't stand up for them, and that's what they have recorded in their head. So I think this is a good time to talk to your friend about, like, instead of being defensive and being like, well, shit, I was there with Cesar Chavez and marching down the street and in the front line. I went in a time machine and went back to the Million Man March. You don't know what I did, you know? Like, no, like, this is a time to be like, I hear you. Let's talk. How do you think I could have done better? And why do you think, you know, like, and that's also dangerous because you're also putting the labor on that person of color, like, explain to me why I'm racist kind of thing. But what I've been doing lately is just saying, I hear you. I'm not going to respond. I'm going to think about this and really kind of evaluate the situation because there are so many layers to this, y'all, you know? And I don't want to say like, hey girl, you're good. Social media is bullshit anyway, because I see the other side of it too. Like, for example, right now during the pandemic, it makes my blood fucking boil when I see my friends posting like outings without their masks on. And I understand that they're outside and they're probably being socially distant and they only took their mask off for the picture, but I'm like, you're sending the message that you don't care just because of the optics of the image, which is insane to think about. But at the same time, it's like if you have the platform, you want to make sure you're sharing the right message. So I see both sides to this. But, you know, that same friend that I'm talking about posted a black square, you know, when people were blacking out on Blackout Tuesday or whatever. And that's the only thing they've posted. In my heart, I know that they're not a bad person. I understand that white supremacy and racism is very sneaky, and they're working on themselves and I'm working on myself. So we just have to try to move forward instead of putting the blame on other people. What do you think, Babs?
I think so too, pero es que there's one thing I like that she said, that this poser culture of saying, yes, I'm down with the movement, here it is, my post, and you can post every 5 minutes. It doesn't mean shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And yes, there are certain levels of your persona online, meaning that if you are an influencer, you absolutely have a fucking responsibility to do it, you know, because silent is complacent. And we talked about this before. So that's really important, right? And yes, nobody but yourself knows the ways in which you are trying to change, in the ways that you're changing, and the ways you're contributing. But as you mentioned, Favi, this seems to be stemming from something else. If this is your absolutely best, one of your best friends, and it's a maid of honor, and maybe she's seeking for a deeper conversation, and this was su entrada, you know, that was the way for her to start this conversation through that. It seems to be a little bit more than that, because I don't know, like maybe my friendships are different, but if that would happen to me, I think it would be like, hey, bitch, like, what the fuck? Like, you need to start doing more, you know, you'd be like, oh, okay, you're right. You know, something like that, as opposed to this like other route that your friend seems to be taking. So maybe this is the beginning of a much longer conversation. You're absolutely right also, Favi. You cannot put all the weight onto your friend. But at the same time, if we cannot have these conversations with our very best friends, who are we going to have these conversations? And I don't want us to be fighting over these details. Because as we mentioned before in the podcast, like, that is the best work of the empire. They want us to be fucking pointing the fingers at each other as opposed to be pointing the fingers, you know, to like the biggest institutions that keep these systems really working and profiting off of these racist systems. So I think it's important to do have the conversation, you to have it with tacto, you know, to be like very mindful about the conversation that you're going to have, not hold the person accountable for your changes. And I agree with you, Fabi. I see both. But I mean, I don't know the specifics of both the friendship and your activism, right? So I cannot, no puedo opinar más, but it does seem that this is a conversation that is due, that is absolutely due, because the way that other people have fucked up, the way that social media has been distorted into this fucking monster that can be the best social tool possible or the worst social tool possible, shouldn't be the instrument that breaks you both as friends. But again, I do think that this is a much, much bigger conversation between you two, because, you know, like, you two know each other better as friends than anybody else, so... So I do agree.
And you know, privilege is also very blinding. And I'm very introspective now, but I think maybe a couple years ago I wasn't. So now when I'm in a space with other POCs or, you know, other people that don't identify as heterosexual, I find myself having to be quiet and just listen. And it's harder than I expected, because I've been used to being like, oh, I'm the brown person, I'm the Mexican person, I'm the Guatemalan person, I'm the queer person. So, you know, what I say matters, you know what I mean? And so I'm going to take up as much space as I want. But now, because I have so many more friends and have joined so many more groups. I represent the patriarchy a lot of the times. I represent, I mean, because of my skin color, because of my cis hetero, I'm not heteronormative, but like cisgender identity, I'm the man, you know?
Right.
And so I need to be quiet, and I'm learning that. And that action of being quiet is actually really important. So sometimes that's, as people with privilege, if you're the only white Latina or light-skinned Latina in a space and there's all these people of color, maybe being quiet and listening is the best thing to do at that point, you know? It's just like it's just a tough realization, because I'm very sensitive. You know, I come on here and I make fun of Abelito, like, whatever, but like, sometimes I don't express when I get my feelings hurt and or when something that somebody says affects me, but I sit there and I think about it, you know, and a lot of people are the same way. Like, for years, you might be in these activist spaces thinking that, okay, I'm here with all these people, we're in the same fight, but I don't know, you might have slipped up and said some things that are offensive, but nobody's going to tell you there on the spot. Nobody's going to call you out on the spot. You know what I mean? So that's why I say, maybe talk to your friend. Maybe there's something else going on, you know?
Right.
And get ready to get your feelings hurt, bitch, because if you've been protected by your white privilege, or I don't want to say that you're white. You might not be a white Latina. I'm just saying, in a world if where you are, like, or protected by all these, you know, able-bodied, or you know, you, or bilingual, you know, there's so many different things that factor in here that could really be a blind spot for you. So instead of being offended, let's get introspective and think about it.
Again, I just hate to think that maybe two friends that could have got together and really like do something for the movement will not do anymore because of like this, the politics of social media, mm-hmm. you know? One thing I do want to mention, she says, I constantly feel as though Latinos are not considered in talks about race because people only see racism affecting black people. Girl, there's black people and Latino as well. Like, we're everything. So like, that's a misconception.
That's a blind spot in this email already. So, right. Caso cerrado. So
hasta ahí. No, pero maybe there's something to what your friend is trying to say. It's just probably that, yes, you might be feeling that you are doing enough, but just like you said, you don't want to post because at the end of the day, it's all about empathy, right? Like, I do something, and at the end of the day, I'm the one who feels better about myself than anybody else. Maybe there's something to it, and judging from a line here and there in the email, maybe your friend has a point. But again, you're lucky. You're lucky that you have somebody to call you out. So, you know, like, that's a great opportunity to have a talk. So,
yeah. All right. Thank you so much, Amarelis. All right. Next one from Mari, our friend from Tokyo again. She has more fun questions. And I said I was going to split them up throughout the year, basically, because she sent us so much. Today's category is chisme / spill that tea, honey. Okay.
Okay.
I just want to jump off a bridge right now. Okay. I hate myself. I hate myself so much. Okay. Worst / wildest thing you've ever seen on the Las Vegas Strip or in Las Vegas?
Wait, when I used to work in Caesar's Palace,
uh-huh.
Nothing crazy wild, but like I always saw people throwing up. Like, and I know that's not wild, but when you see it like once a week, you're kind of like, oh, whatever. Here we go, another person, which I feel bad for the people that have to fucking clean it. But I think once in New Year's, a guy got on top of El Semáforo. You know how crazy it gets on New Year's? It's gross.
Mm-hmm.
But he took off his pants, and then that's it. But it was like...
He was on top of a light pole?
Yeah, and then he pulled down his pants and then pulled them up. And it was like... You know, it's like a Mardi Gras type of thing, I guess. I don't know. There was so many.
That's
fucking
the craziest
people.
Thing you've seen.
That's the craziest thing I've seen. Yeah, but I've also avoided the strip all my life. Like,
yeah,
even though I lived in Vegas for so long, like, I just avoided it. So, but I don't know. I bet you have better stories than that.
I don't know. The only thing that's coming to mind is like celebrity interactions that I've had, which not interactions, sightings, I should say. I think back to when I worked at the Cosmopolitan Las Vegas at the Liberace exhibit, and Britney Spears started her residency at Planet Hollywood, uh-huh. which is directly across the street. And she drove down Las Vegas Boulevard in like this
what
pink Cadillac. Yeah, because whenever somebody starts a residency, they do this like grand arrival. And I had a front row seat because the gallery was on the first floor of the Cosmo. And I was just right there on the street. So when she was about to pull up, I just like locked the gallery and went outside and was just like, Britney! Just yelling Britney. And she turned and looked at me and I like almost fainted. So just like being that close to Britney Spears. One time, I also worked at Caesar's Palace like you, and Mariah Carey went to go eat at the Cheesecake Factory, which was right next door to the art gallery where I worked at. And so I just saw her floating by with her two little kids and her entourage. She was going to get that brown bread at the Cheesecake Factory. And then who else? Shania Twain once at a bar. That was fun. You know what Shania Twain did? She rode down a horse down Las Vegas Boulevard to Caesar's Palace.
Oh, that's right. I guess. What a,
how epic. How epic, man.
I saw several celebrities too, but I don't know. It was just like, I will help them.
The wildest thing. I'm really trying to think like what the wildest thing that I've ever seen is. But I just... Everything's so normal. Like, I don't know, like things that people think are wild, I just think, like you said, like people throw up every day. So it's like, I mean, we can go dark. I saw somebody jump off a building and die.
What?
Yeah.
That's pretty wild.
Maybe, I think I blocked that out. Oh, my heart. I just saw it again. Oh, I think that's the one.
Yeah. Okay. You win. You win.
What's been your wildest night out in Vegas?
In Vegas? No, but not.
Or anywhere. It doesn't say in Vegas.
To me, was that night at Scum where we went with Michaela. And then we were in line to get burritos. And then, boom, she fainted.
Wow.
Yeah, like I'm not a party person, so like this is certainly not my category. I never blacked out. I blacked out in my wedding, but that's it. So no, like I'm always like the one driving. Ah, no es cierto. Una vez en Juárez, I went out with a couple of friends.
Here we go.
I went with a couple of friends. And it was like this lesbian couple. And I was like, tenía como 13, 14 años, güey. We went to, I'm not going to get into details, but we went to this gay bar. And my couple friend, like, they got upset over some stripper action that happened on stage. And she was really upset. And my other friend was super, super, super drunk. So we get in the car, and she's like, la que estaba regañada, the one that they were mad at.
Uh-huh.
She was like, ya me voy a bajar del carro, ya déjame ir. And like my other friend is like, you're not going to get out of the car, like I'm holding on to you. So she was driving with one hand, y con la otra, she was holding her by her clothes. And she kept driving and driving and driving, and she kept like wanting to get out of the car, and she just wanted to get home, right? Y yo atrás dije, Dios mío, like, if the cop sees us, like, I'm like 14. Like, I'm going to jail. I was so drunk, too. And then when we were driving, and una de esas se descuidó, and there was a big curve, so she let go of her to to put both hands on the wheel. And when she let go of her, she opened the door of the car and she just like flew out of the car. And she rolled down the street. Mm-hmm. And her head, I kid you not, her head came like 5 inches away from La Banqueta.
No.
Like a little bit more y ya se hubiera entregado. But I remember I was like, fuck, let's get her in the car real quick. I was just so worried about like my parents finding out that it was a Tuesday night and I was out. It was like 4 a.m. And I was out and drunk. I'm like, get her in the car. I don't want the cops to see. But the la visión of my friends just rolling down the street, it's something that I will never, ever, ever, ever forget. So I think that was the wildest night.
Ugh.
But I don't know. Oh, no. What about you?
There's a lot of memories that come to mind and a lot of things. The wildest nights that I've had, I don't know what happened because I was completely... I went through maybe like a 10-year phase where I would black out a lot. That's a long time. That's a decade. I've talked about my cousin's bachelorette party that I blacked out for like 6 hours and had no idea that I was a party animal on the Las Vegas Strip that whole time.
Right.
I've said it on the show, so I'm not going to repeat it. You're going to have to dig deep in the archives for that story of me coming to an alley in Vegas in front of a Hooters and holding a stranger's phone. I don't know how it happened. There was that one time in Mexico with Vico.
Oh, my God.
I was at an artist residency, and I was like, como niño bueno, I didn't drink at all. I was home by sundown working in my studio, didn't go to any bars. And that was like the beginning of my sobriety, I think, you know? And so you know what happens when you relapse, because I hadn't drank like in over a month. And then our friend came to visit, and she was like, chinga su madre, let's go out, have fun. I'm here one night only. And you better believe I was drunk in the middle of the day. We started with pulque, and I ended up in a brothel. Okay. I'm going to leave that there. That was fun and very dangerous. I thought that was the end of my life. And let's see, what else? I think I have one more in mind. I don't know, girl. And then I was... should I say it on the podcast? Probably not. There was a time where I didn't drink. I drank and did other things on top of it. And honestly, they're just like really kind of bad memories because you know what triggered a lot of these memories that I forgot about was that HBO show, I May Destroy You. Yeah, so what that person was doing in that show for some of those episodes, I was doing the same things.
Okay, como frutas y verduras.
Next question. Wildest relationship / dating chismes you've ever heard or experienced?
I can't think of anything. I mean, what do you mean, like heard, experience?
Yeah, like
que alguien le pusieron el cuerno and shit like that.
Yeah, or like something wild boring. Like that.
I don't know. Like, give me an example.
Let me see. I don't know. Like, I don't like drama. I don't surround myself with drama. People that say that usually are the most dramatic people.
Right,
I'm not saying this happened in my family. But like, you know, like maybe there was an instance at church where hermanos y hermanas were hanging out juntos, two different families. And then maybe like the church found out that the husbands of both couples were also in a secret relationship.
Oh my God. That's
juicy. And the pastor
juicy.
Found out and then shunned said person in front of the entire church.
Uh-huh. Oh, what?
I miss going to church. The tea was hot. I'm gonna leave that one there. Something like that. Anything come to mind for you?
Yeah. In my family, cuando I remember there was a period when my grandma kept going in and out, rest in peace, my grandma kept going in and out of the hospital. So one day my mom receives a call.
Uh-huh.
So she thinks, oh, ya valió madre, ya colgó los tenis la Carlota. But it wasn't Carlota, it was Luis. Like she had, her dad had an accident and died. So we rush to Juarez to go to the funeral. And again, my grandma was in the hospital also at the same time. And by then, my grandma and my grandpa were already separated. So we get to the hospital. It parecía pinche película de Almodóvar, güey. Like, the light came beautifully in her white hair. And she was just like, I remember coming in, and all I heard said, quiéranla, no pórtese bien con ella, yo ya sabía todo. And I was like, what is going on? And then that afternoon, I met my uncle, who was like 7 years younger than I. So my grandpa had, and that's like in every fucking Latino family. I remember a long time ago, I saw this Insta story live with Diosa from Locatora Radio. And she was like, somebody tell me if you heard this sort of story in your family, in your grandparents. And like, there was like so many messages that she got. And yeah, like my grandpa had somebody on the side, and it happened that we had an uncle, and the uncle had to be like, it happened to be very young. But like at that moment, you know, like I was shooketh. It was like between my grandma in the hospital, my grandfather dying, and el nuevo tío que estaba más chiquito que yo. It was like, what? Wow. But now, like, now in retrospect, it's like, yeah, like, that patriarchy shit, if it's bad right now, like in Latino families back in the day, was like disgusting, you know.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah, that's one chisme.
Wildest thing you've ever seen happen at a party.
Hijo de su madre. Tú primero, a ver si se me ocurre algo.
I just don't. I guess these questions are just making me realize the trauma that I have just blocked out of my head. I've been at several parties where people have been shot. Okay, next, your turn.
No, ya ganaste, güey.
Nobody's
ganaste.
Died. I don't think anybody's died, but just
pero one time. De todos modos?
One time it was a drive-by, and once it was an accident.
Nothing like that. I mean, this is the thing. Where like my people have considered chisme and wild moment, like, but. By now, I'm just like, I just roll my eyes. I'm like, yeah, that's what fucking kids do. So, like, I don't know. Like, maybe when we were teenagers, like, several people went out with the same person at the same night. But, like, that's just, like, what kids do. So, like, no. Nothing beats the shooting. Next.
It's not a competition. It's relative to your life. You don't have to. I mean, not all of us have had so much violence growing up. Okay. So, worst coworker / roommate you've ever had.
Híjole, cuando trabajaba en Yadro.
What is that?
Yadro is a company that sells. It's a Spanish company of ceramics.
Oh.
They sell little. It's like Precious Moments. I don't know if you ever seen those little like ceramic thingies.
Precious Moments. Yeah.
That's how it's called.
Excuse me. Do you know me, bitch? Are you fucking kidding me? Of course I know what Precious Moments were. I actually made a pilgrimage to the Precious Moments Chapel in Missouri. They have a Sistine.
Oh my God, that's
right.
It's
like the Sistine Chapel, all with Precious Moments. Like,
qué desorden.
Do I know Precious Moments? Bitch, please, get out of here.
So Yadro is like the original Precious Moments. Like, they've been around forever. And like a tiny little figurine that might be 5 inches tall, like an angel praying, can go up to like $100. Like, it's just stupid shit like that. So I work in high-end retail like that for a bit. And I had like a very, 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 very...
Say very one more time.
Very, very Republican co-workers. I'm not one, but several of them. But in retrospect, there was this guy from Alicante, Spain, and I hope he's listening because he was fucking horrible. And he was the most sexist person you could think. And he will just say all kinds of fucked up remarks. And to me, once he said, "Wow, your Spanish is so elegant." And I was like, "What do you mean by that?" He's like, "Yeah, like normally people in Mexico don't know how to speak Spanish." And I was like, part of me got livid and part of me is like, you know what? Like, no, if you think about colonization, by the time the Spanish arrived and they tried to intermix with Mexicans, they created their own fucked up version of your language. So the way that we speak is because of you all. And he's like, "I never thought about it like that." I'm like, "No shit, bitch." So it was always, and that's the thing, like, I was a kid. I wasn't woke at all, but, like, I could recognize some of that shit. But in retrospect, the more I think about moments with him, like, the more I realize that he was one of the worst coworkers I've ever had. I haven't had a lot of roommates, so I cannot speak on that regard because a couple of roommates I've had in Chicago, shout out, Luis, they've been amazing. So I have no complaints.
I've had many roommates, and I'm not going to drag any of them on the show anymore because I get in trouble. So I'm going to stick with coworkers. The worst. I don't think the worst is a good... I just don't like people... This is my thing. Every job has a bad coworker. And the worst part of... The worst coworker ever is the coworker in your office that does nothing, but gets away with doing nothing because all they do is complain about how busy they are, but they really don't do anything. And but they figure it out. Pay attention. Next time, if you have an office job or you work in a large setting, pay attention. There's always one person that does nothing, but people leave them alone because they complain so much that A, they don't want them to complain, or B, the boss just thinks that they're working hard because all they do is complain. Like I used to have a coworker at a museum that I worked at that every day she would say, "It's crazy out there. I can't believe it. It's so crazy." And and I'd be like, one day I just broke down and I was like, "You say that it's crazy every day for the past 3 years? This is normal. Like, why haven't you figured out a way to do your job more efficiently, or let's develop a system so that it's not crazy for you, like you're saying?" And after I said that, it was over. I just like had shut down and was just like passive aggressive the rest of the time I was there because I didn't want to talk to fucking people like that anymore because it's just like annoying. Like, I'm over here killing myself to run this fucking place, and then people are just saying like normal shit is crazy. I'm like, really? Is that crazy? Girl, what the fuck? Anyway, that's one of the worst coworkers I've ever had. But I wanted to tell you another story right now because I just thought about it. So I worked at this place, the same gallery that I worked at Caesar's Palace. I'm not going to say the names of things, but if you go to the Cheesecake Factory at Caesar's Palace and you look to the right, you might see it.
And there's a lot of Murakamis.
So this place is like, they had blue chip art. They had like bullshit, like fairy, you know, dolphin art, all that shit. But then they also had like, you know, the blue chip stuff was like Andy Warhol's and, you know, Murakami and Keith Haring, like all that shit that there's tons of replicas of that most of them aren't real, but they're selling them as real. Okay. So I was like the manager of the place, of the, like the office manager. And so my job was to like input all the information. I was the money person also. But then there was all these, I forgot what they're called. They're like basically like sales associates, but they don't call them that. They just call them, you know, when you go into a gallery and there's a person.
Gallerists.
They were just salespeople. They weren't really gallerists. But yeah, let's say gallerists. They're trying to sell you something. And so consultants, that's what they call them. And so there was one that was hired, and this man, I think he was like from South Africa because he kind of had like a British accent. And he was one of these gays. He was probably in his 40s. But he had like the 90s, like, you know, parted hair, like a la, like, You know, like everybody had the parted hair in the 90s, like Jonathan Taylor Thomas, you know, like kind of shaggy. Mm-hmm. Okay, but imagine this on a grown man with like highlights and their face was like,
oh, that sounds beautifully. So
he was like beautifully bronzed and he had the face of a like almost like of a lion, you know, like he had like very intense eyes. You could tell like either he was on drugs or he did a lot of drugs in the 90s, you know, 80s and 90s, you know, that residue, you know, those residue twitches and just swagger that those people have. I don't want to say swagger, more of a, you know, a gait, I'll say, when they walk. And they were being very suspicious. Like when I worked there, like they would kind of hide in like the little showrooms and I was like kind of onto them, but I didn't want to say anything because that's not my business. Okay. And so I would just go into work and leave. I was not trying to be friends with anybody. I was just like trying to count the money and do my emails and go. Right. And one day it got to the point where this person was showing up so late and blamed it on them having HIV, and they would send in these fake doctor's notes to me. And my boss at the time was like, she just wanted to get rid of this dude, I think. And so she's like, and I'm hella nosy in real life, you know? Like, I try to set those boundaries at work with people because I don't want that. I don't want to know at work because I just don't want to. I don't want to be involved in that shit, you know? But this just like intrigued me. So then I just started doing like research and like my boss wanted me to. I found out because this is what happened. Oh my God, it's all coming back. Okay. So I get this phone call. I got this phone call because I would answer the phones from somebody looking for this person. And I was like, well, I don't understand how you got this number for this person. Are you trying to buy art? And they're like, no, I had made an appointment with them and they missed the appointment. And I'm like, appointment for what? And they're like, oh, just some services. And I'm like, oh. No. And I was like, okay, well, let me write your name down and I'll give him the information when he comes to work. Because in my head, I'm like, oh, this is a client that he's trying to sell like a bootleg Alexander Calder to or whatever. And so the next time this guy came into work, I was like, oh, here's your messages. This guy called. I don't know why he called this number. And the look on his face was like of shock, right? Like, how did he get this number?
And oh my God, oh my God.
And so then this intrigued me. And so then like I reverse, I called this person back. Like I reverse called them back from the, I like went through the call logs to figure out what this person was. And then I put it in the internet. And then I found out that this person was actually this person's partner on a website it's called rentboy.com when it still existed. And this person, this coworker and their partner were sex workers, right? So they were like escorts and they were, I think they were like using the gallery to like be a place to meet people. And then they would go to the hotels or wherever, you know, like on the strip. And then like, I had like literally pictures of everything, like
all these clients they've had,
not the clients they've had, but like pictures of them like in different positions, if you know what I mean.
No.
And I'm on my work computer with like my boss over my shoulder and we're like, no, like we just keep scrolling. And then it goes down to the schedule part of this person, because back in the day that website had like a schedule, like when their availability is, and we're looking at all the availability and be like, hey, that's the day he called out, that's the other day he called out, like, oh, he was doing it, he was like doing an appointment for his whatever he was doing. Oh my gosh, that was so dramatic. And so uncomfortable, because we had to all pretend that we didn't know anything. But I just had to develop.
Yeah, because like in terms of his job, besides, like, you know, like meeting people for 5 minutes or whatever, he's not necessarily doing nothing illegal, you know? So what can you tell them?
Yes. So we just had to build up enough evidence, I guess. I think this was also a lie. I think this was my boss also being nosy, and she just wanted me to be the Nancy Drew of drug-riddled gay escorts in Vegas. I don't know. Anyway.
Oh, my God.
I hope I didn't get I don't think I give many details out, so nobody's going to figure out who this person is. But their full name is... No, I'm just kidding. but damn, now that's got me thinking, like, you can't do that shit. Rentboy.com doesn't exist anymore. Or, like, the ads in Craigslist. Like, how do people get their escorts now? Man, I'm going to have to do some research. I'll let you know. I'll try it out.
In this age and with this technology, you think that's a problem?
No. I know. OnlyFans, Instagram, Facebook. Okay, so, I want to say that's the worst coworker, because that was actually... It was a bad feeling. I remember it being a bad feeling, because I could see that this person needed help, and maybe they were in an abusive relationship kind of thing. And so, like, I felt for them.
Mm-hmm. That's a whole another level.
So
of fucked
it
up
made mess. Me yeah. feel kind of bad. So I was like trying to warn them in like in a very like way, like, hey, maybe you should try to be more on time, or hey, you're looking a little sweaty after your lunch breaks, you know, like maybe you want to pat down, you know, like I would just kind of be there to help them out, you know, but it only lasted a few months after that. Okay. Thank you so much, Maury. Mari, those are really, really great questions. She says, thanks again, with love from Tokyo.
Oh, that's so amazing.
Okay, girl, look at that.
Mari.
Time's up. We've been through two emails. Jesus, Joseph, Mary, and all the Latter-day Saints. I cannot believe it. Okay, let's take a little break, and we'll be right back. Babelito, it's time to thank our madrinas. You know, we can't do this podcast without your support. Or actually, we could do it. We would just not have any money to host the podcast. But we have so much support on Patreon. And we love you. Last episode, we shouted out our comadres and our amigas. This time, we're going to shout out our madrinas. So why don't you start, Babs?
Let's do it. Yesenia S, shout out to you.
Yanel G.
Viviana S.
Vanessa T.
Stephanie B. Hey, girl.
Sherry W.
Sarah S.
Sarah.
Santos Q.
Robert R.
Renato N, shout out.
Raquel S.
Rafael T. Prop.
Paula B, thank you.
Nicole Y.
Natalia O.
Nancy R.
Nancy M. M.
Nightse. Oh, ooh, I like this name. Nightse. Oh, shout out to you.
Monique J.
Monica M.
Miranda S.
Miguel M. M.
Miguel C.
Michelle S.
Maria R. M.
Maria G.
Luna M. L.
Luis R, shout out, coma.
Luis J M.
Lola's Cocina, shout out to you.
Girl, I'm about to put in a salsa negra order. Can't wait.
Ay, ay, ay.
Lily P, thank you.
Leah, shout out.
Laura T.
Chris and Berna.
Katarina V.
Julia M.
You know, I love that name, Katarina. I think if I ever have a daughter.
It's a beautiful name.
Katarina. Oh. It's so intense. And it could be like, anyway. Okay. Where were we? Judith G.
Jocelyn C.
Thanks, friend. Joe M.
And Jessica A.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We'll be shouting out the rest of our madrinas on our next episode. And if you want to support Latinos Who Lunch, go to latinoswholunch.com/donate. You can do a one-time donation. We'll give you a shout out. Or you can join our Patreon, get exclusive content, at least one bonus episode a month. Sometimes we release the episodes out early on them. Sometimes we do giveaways. We post little fun things on there. Check it out. That's patreon.com /LatinosWhoLunch. Okay, let's do recommendations real, real quick, Babs. What you got?
I actually have another Colombian amazing. This is a guy, but I think it's also like a band. I don't know.
Okay.
His name is Crudo Means Raw. And I have not gotten to like some good Latino hip hop just because I've been into this whole like bedroom pop, indie, Colombian experimental way for a long time now. But my friend Dani, shout out to Grecia and Dani who came and visited, he played his playlist and this came up and I was like, what the fuck is this? Like the fusion of music, hip hop, and it feels 90s, but it feels so now. And there's like Colombian rhythms, everything. It's so smooth, it's wonderful. The name of the album is Esmeraldas. I'm a little late to the game because it came out a couple months ago. The latest single is Moctezuma. Again, the name is Crudo Means Raw, smooth ass Colombian hip hop. No se lo pierdan. Amazing, amazing shot. I mean, amazing shit. What about you?
Well, I have some assignments / recommendations for you. I have actually been taking Dr. Erica Abad's class at UNLV this semester on like representation in media when it comes to POCs and queer folk. And so it's a really great class. Lots of great discussions on there. And I've been talking to Erika weekly also, and so Dr. Abad wants to do another episode of Latinos Who Lunch about queer representation. And so I think in December, we're going to do it. And so I have some shows that we want to discuss.
Okay.
And these were curated by Dr. Abad, so get your pencils and pens and writing utensils ready, or just look in the show notes. I'll put them in there for you guys. First show, Owl House. I have no idea what it is. It's Owl, like the bird, House. Second is the show called Jenny and the Phantoms. And then the third show is Love, Victor. I think that one's on Hulu. That's the only one that I've seen. I thought I wasn't going to like it. I didn't like it. I don't know. We'll talk about it on the show. I liked it and I didn't like it. And we're going to talk about that probably in the episode. But if you haven't seen those shows, at least watch a few episodes so we know what the hell we're talking about. I'm sure we're going to cover way more things, but those are the three that Dr. Abad assigned to me. So I will be taking the next 2 months. I'm giving you plenty of time to watch the show. And I'm doing this because, for example, like I love Tea with Queen and Jay, and they did an episode on I May Destroy You. And I will not listen to the episode until I watch the entire series. So it's just like going to be in my queue. And that show is really intense. I can only watch like an episode like every other day. So I'll probably not be able to listen to that episode for another 2 weeks. So this gives y'all plenty of time for all you people that aren't binge watchers to sit down and watch a few episodes of each of these shows. I will say Love, Victor is like really easy to watch because it's like a Disney show. So it's like everybody's beautiful and mostly white. So, you know, I'm just kidding. It's a very diverse cast and everybody looks like a Disney prince. So it's great. Okay. So again, Owl House, Jenny and the Phantoms, and Love, Victor. Anything else, Babs?
That's it.
All right. As always, you can visit us at latinoswholunch.com or, yeah, I think that's it, right? Oh my God, I don't remember how to do this anymore. I need coffee, I think. Please leave us an email or drop us a line at asklwlpod@gmail.com. If you have a moment, please, please, please take the time to leave us a review. 5 stars.
5 estrellas solamente.
Because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are, and
visibility leads to representation, and representation matters.
Today's episode was produced by Justin Favela and Emmanuel Ortega with production assistance from Maite Sosa. The music you're listening to now is by the band Balloon. I'm Favi Fav.
And I'm Babelito.
Adios, amigos.
Ciao, ciao, ciao.
Bye.